We're going to move on to our next topic within Bishul. Very, very important topic, and that is, you've heard all about the idea of a Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, all of that, so we need to get into that sugya a little bit. We did finish Mordechai yesterday. No, I think we got it. Okay, so the Gemara Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, there is a Mishnah. And the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos Mem Beis Amud Aleph says as follows, Ha'ilfas v'ha'kedera. So an ilfas is a kind of pot. A kedera is another kind of pot. She'eviron mirutochin. If you take them off the fire while they are mirutochin. What does mirutochin mean? Boiling. They're very, very hot. So in such a case, lo yitein letolchan tavlin. You're not allowed to put into that pot tavlin. Spices. Aval no sein hu letocha ka'ora o letocha tamchui. You're not allowed to put tavlin into the kedera or the ilfas, but you're allowed to put into the ka'ara or the tamchoi, that is mutter. So what is the difference? So Rashi says, ka'ara, what's a ka'ara?
The other two are the serving utensils.
A ka'ara is a bowl. In other words, somehow the food got from the pot into the bowl, and then it's mutter. Rashi explains what's the difference. So Rashi says, because Kli Sheni ain't a Mevashel. Is that once you're in a Kli Rishon, that Kli Rishon is Mevashel, and a Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. So there's a fundamental difference. Kli Sheni, and remember, the Mishnah speaks about a Kli Rishon, She'eviron Mirutachin. Is the Kli Rishon on the fire?
No.
It's off the fire. Even though the Kli Rishon is off the fire, it is still in a state of... it's still mevashel. It has a koach of bishul. Kli Sheni does not have a koach of bishul, and therefore you can put tavlin into the Kli Sheni. The Gemara does say that there are certain types of foods, the Gemara suggests, that even in a Kli Rishon shelo al gabi ha'esh cannot be cooked. For example, what the Gemara describes over here, if you have bisra datura, what does bisra datura mean? If you have ox meat, so ox meat is very, very tough. So the ox meat, in order for that to get cooked, it needs to have real bona fide fire. To throw a piece of ox meat into a Kli Rishon Shel Gabei Esh is not going to be a vashel, but that's rare to find such items. And then you have certain items that the Gemara is going to describe later on that even in a Kli Sheni will be mevashel. So that's the Mishnah that we saw the other day on Daf Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, where the Mishnah over here says that if you have a Kli Sheni, the Mishnah has, what did I say, Kuf Mem? I didn't mean Kuf Mem Dalet, I meant Kuf Mem. So the Mishnah says if you have something that is a, if you have something that's a Kli Sheni, so normally speaking, Kli Sheni ain't a mevashel, except when you have something like Kulius ha'ispanin. What does Kulius ha'ispanin mean?
It's Kali Habishal.
Right. Kali Habishal. Small little fish. Tiny little fish that the commission says hadachosan. Even just rinsing it off. Zuhi gemar malachton. That is going to produce real bishal. So that is what we call Kali Habishal. And when it comes to Kali Habishal, then even in a Kli Sheni, it is mevashel. That's what the Mishnah says. Kuf Memehemet Beis is that Maliach HaYoshan Kulius HaIspinin that gets cooked in a Vinat Kli Sheni. So the rule is Kli Rishon is mevashel. Kli Sheni is not mevashel except for Kali HaBishul. Comes along Tesis and Av Mem Beis Amud Beis in Maseches Shabbos and asks a very simple question. I'm a little confused. What did we say? Kli Rishon is mevashel. Kli Sheni is not mevashel. Says Tosis, I'm a little confused. What am I confused by? What's the difference? Why do we assume that one is mevashel, one is not mevashel? After all, I poured into a Kli Sheni. How hot was the food in the Kli? Was the pot, the water in the Kli Rishon? Hot. It was hot. How hot is it in the Kli Sheni? Less hot. Hot, hot. How much less hot?
The wall.
How much less hot? A degree or two? Like, is it above Yad Saletisbo in the Klisheni? It's above Yad Saletisbo. If it's above Yad Saletisbo, so what difference would it make if we're talking about a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni? That is a question. So who addresses this question? Who asks this kasha? It's Tosis. Tosis Dibur Hamaskel Shmamino. Daf Mem Amud Beis Masechet Shabbos. A short Tosis, very, very important. Tosis says as follows: Tema Maishna Kli Sheni Mi Kli Rishon. Why is a Kli Rishon different than Kli Sheni? After all, Di Yad Saledisbo. If the key is what? Yad Saledisbo, then Afilu Kli Sheni Nami. If the Kli Sheni is Yad Saledisbo, then what should be the din? Kli Sheni should be Mavasha. And the Ein Yad Saledisbo. And if it's below Yad Saledisbo, then Afilu Kli Rishon Nami Einu Mavasha. Mimanu Shach. If the water is hotter than Yad Saletis Bo, then a Kli Sheni is Mavasha. If the water is colder than Yad Saletis Bo, then even Kli Rishon is not Mavasha. So what's the difference? So comes along Jack Warren, and he says like this, V'yesh Lomar, Lefi Shekli Rishon, Mitoch She'omar Al Ha'or, Dof Nosav Chamin. Since the Kli Rishon sat on the fire, what's the status of its walls? The walls of the Kli Rishon are hot. Umachzik chomo zman meruba, and it holds on to the heat for a long time. Ulekach nosnu bo shir de kozman sheyad selezbo oser. Aval Kli Sheni, af algav de yad selezbo mutter. She'ein dof nosav chamin. The walls of a Kli Sheni are what? They were never on the fire, so they are cool. V'holechum is karer, and therefore it is in a cooling mode. It's an interesting tosis. Very interesting tosis. Makes a chiluk between a Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni in this fashion. Now, one side note. Kli Rishon al gabe ha'esh, doraisa or drabanan? Doraisa. Kli Rishon al gabe ha'esh is mevashal doraisa, nothing to talk about. Kli Rishon shelo al gabe ha'esh, according to most poskim, is mevashel doraisa. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's only mevashel midrabanan. Kli Rishon shelo gabe esh. Okay, let's go with doraisa. Let's assume it goes on a doraisa. So Tosi asks the question: what's the difference in Kli Rishon Kli Sheni? Tosi says Kli Rishon dof nosav mechamos. Kli Sheni dof nosav me karos. So question number one. According to Tosfos, should there be any difference whatsoever between a Kli Sheni and a Kli Shlishi?
Depends.
Doesn't depend. L'chora, Kli Shlishi, Kli Sheni, the exact same thing. Whatever the din is in Kli Sheni is the same din in Kli Shlishi. Because you're both talking about if it's above Yad Saletisbo, Mavash. Kli Sheni is not Mavash, except what? Except Kalei Bishul. So L'chora, based on this distinction, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, that I get. Distinction, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi, if it's Mevashel, Kalei Abishul, and Kli Sheni, then it's Mevashel, Kalei Abishul in Kli Shlishi, Revi'i, Chamishi, the whole way down, doesn't help you. And indeed, those poskim that do not follow Rav Moshe's Kula, that a Kli Shlishi is not Mevashel, because there's only a difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. Kli Shlishi is the same exact thing as a Kli Sheni. So that's one ha'ara. Second ha'ara I have for you is the following. What makes a Kli Rishon a Kli Rishon?
Being the primary vessel used to heat the walls are hot.
Walls are hot. What makes a Kli Sheni a Kli Sheni?
Walls are cold.
Walls are cold. So what is it? Is it a Kli Rishon because the walls are cold? Sorry. Is it a Kli Rishon because the walls are hot? Or is it a Kli Sheni because the walls are cold? Is it about hot walls make a Kli Rishon? Or is it cold walls make a klisheni? You'll tell me, Rabbi, what's the difference? You're talking semantics. I'll tell you there's a big difference. The difference is Iroi Kli Rishon. What does Iroi Kli Rishon mean? When I pour from a Kli Rishon, let's say I have tea leaves. Tea leaves, I have a piece of chicken, whatever. I pour from a Kli Rishon onto the tea leaves. When I pour from the Kli Rishon, now what happens? The water has exited the Kli Rishon. When does the water become Kli Sheni? Does it become Kli Sheni once it's under the influences of the Kli Sheni? Or does it become Kli Sheni once it's out of the influence of Kli Rishon? Nafkamina? Iroi Kli Rishon. Do we assume Iroi Kli Rishon is Kli Rishon? Or do we assume Iroi Kli Rishon is Kli Sheni? I have some news for you. That's a big machlekes Rishon, based on this Shaila. I'll give you another interesting case. You get a chont. You get some chont and on a plate. A nice big potato from the chont. What's coming out of that potato?
Steam.
Steam. Piping hot. Piping hot. And now you take a pickle. We'll go nachon. We'll go yushami kugel. Piping hot yushami kugel. Straight from the pan. Minhag Eretz Yisrael is, what do you have with yushami kugel?
Pickles.
Pickles with yushami kugel.
Freshly in the pan?
Oh, I love it. What comes out of the pickles?
Juice.
Pickle juice. Chumrah of the day. This is a chumrah that came out of the Mir Yeshiva about 20 years ago. You can't put the pickle on the Yishami Kugel. It's based on a Maharshal. What does the Maharshal say? If you have a Dover Gush, what? A solid item. So solid items, what do? They retain heat. A solid item sitting on a Kli Sheni, says the Marshal, a Chumrah, Dino Kikli Risha. The Dover Gush has a Din of a Kli Risha. Why? Maybe. Because it is not under the influence of Dofnosav Mekaros. When do you have Dofnosa Makaros? When you have a liquid. When you have a liquid, you have Dofnosa Makaros. If you have a Dover Gush that just sits on a plate, is it under the influence of cold walls? No.
The air
is not cold walls. And therefore, maybe, says the Marshal, a Dover Gush, afilu b'klisheni, has a din of a Kli Rishon. And therefore, to take some, I don't know, pickle or most products that we use, like ketchup or stuff like that, poured on, has all been like pasteurized, cooked beforehand. But if you have something that's not been cooked beforehand, to put it on top of a Dover Gush, says the Marshal's Usser. Usser because Dino Ki Kli Rishon. Again, what is the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni? Kli Rishon, because of Dofnosa Mechamos, is a heat maintenance system. It's going to stay hot. That is a cheftza of Bishul. Dofnosa Makaros is a heat dissipation system. And therefore, that's not going to be an instrument of Bishul except for Kalei HaBishul. So that's the introduction into the topic of Kli Rishon Kli Sheni. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch has to say. See if where this comes out. Shin Yud Ches. Now, I want to just make a side comment, just on Shulchan Aruch. Which simon is a Bishul in? What? Shin Yuches. You want a Hilchos Bishul? All you have to do is master one simon in Shulchan Aruch. Simin? Shin Yud Ches.
How long is it?
It's not so long. 19 Se'ifim. All of Hilchos Bishul. Except one big problem. If you go to Reish Nun Gimel, what's Shin Yud Ches minus Reish Nun Gimel?
75?
What? 75. Go with 75. 75 Simon earlier, in Reish Nun Gimel, is what? Is, that's not right, is it?
65, no.
There you go. 47 plus 18.
Yes.
65. Reish Nun Gimel is titled Din Kira Vitanur Litain Aleha Hakderos Be'erev Shabbos. Reish Nun Dalet is Din Tavshil Hamuchanim Me'erev Shabbos K'tei Ligomer B'Shabbos. You have some dinim of Bishul over here. So my just a side question. If you want to learn Bishul, what are you going to learn?
Shabbos Kitchen.
Shin Yud Ches. But what else must you learn if you're going to study Bishul? Reish Nun Gimel. You cannot learn Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos without both Reish Nun Gimel and Shin Yud Ches. Now I ask you, as a pedagogue, Shin Yud Ches, Hilchos Bishul, 65 Simanim earlier, Reish Nun Gimel, I'm telling you, is Hilchos Bishul. Why do you put them so far apart?
Different context.
What's the topic
there? The topic there is putting food on a fire on Erev Shabbos to become cooked on Shabbos. So the answer is, when the Mechaber wrote the Shulchan Aruch, who did he pattern the Sefer on?
On the Tur.
Patterned after the Torah. When the Torah wrote the Arba Turim, what is a Torah? What is a Torah?
A pillar.
Who wrote the Torah?
Son of the Rush.
Rav Yaakov ben Asher, son of the Rush. So when the Torah wrote the Shulchan Aruch, first of all, what did he cover? What did he write on?
Practical halacha.
Only practical halacha. Does he write on Hilchos Beis HaBechira?
Boo.
He did not. Does he write on Hilchos Shumas Maisos?
No.
Of course he does. That's practical halach. That's practical halach. Does he write on Kibbut Aveim?
Yeah.
Sure he does. Does he write on Tuma and Tahara? No, he doesn't. I mean, not Tumas Kohen, Tuma regular. So he writes practical. Not only that, but he ordered the Sefer of the Torah according to the Seder Hayom. So Orach Chaim, what's the first halach in Orach Chaim? Shivi Seshama Negdi Tomei, getting out of bed. And the first part of Orach Chaim goes through the Seder Hayom. You start with Hilchos, Netilas Yadayim, and Tzitzis, and Tfilin, and Tfila, Kriyashma, Tfila, etc. You go till bedtime. Go till bedtime. Chelak Al, Chelak Beis of Mishabura is Seder Hayom, till bedtime. Okay? You include Hilchos Brachos in there, Birchos HaMazon, and tells you that, that's chronological order. Okay, now Chelak Gimel of Mishabura, which is now you're getting to the Reishes in the Torah. Now he's going to say, look, we're learning Arachan, this is Arachan, we're going to start with the Chagim. So the first of the Chagim we'll do Shabbos, that's the most frequent first. Now when it comes to Shabbos, he's first going to discuss Hilchos Erev Shabbos. Because that's before, it's chronological. So Hilchos Erev Shabbos. So in the Reish Nuns, he's talking Hilchos Erev Shabbos. Part of Hilchos Erev Shabbos is, can you put food on a fire on Erev Shabbos to become cooked on Shabbos? Now that's going to be a din derabbanan. Can you return food to a fire on Shabbos? All of these dinim is Reish Nun Gimel. Then, 65 simanim later, he's talking the malachos on Shabbos, so there he gets to Shin Yud Ches. It is not written, the Sefer is not written topically, it's written chronologically. Who wrote his Sefer topically? Which codifier of halacha wrote the Sefer topically?
Rambam.
That was the Rambam. The Rambam writes topically, and he's first going to discuss the orices of Shabbos, the malachas, then later the rabbanon, but he's writing topically. So that makes learning halacha, for those who are into halacha, makes it very challenging. And I've been very careful, but I don't know if you've picked up on the nuance. Whenever I speak about ein bishul achar bishul, and I've been speaking about putting food back on the fire, I've never said putting food back on the fire. I've always said putting food back near the fire, adjacent to the fire, by the fire, samach or on a blech. Because even if it's already been fully cooked, you're not allowed to put the food back on the fire for dinim drabanan. Those are isurei drabanan, which we'll discuss. But we're still shin yuches. We're working in the world of doraisa. And in the world of doraisa, the mechaber says shin yuches halacha dalid. Oh, we did this already. Oh, so he speaks about the difference between kli rishon. Did I say shin yuches dalid? I didn't mean shin yuches dalid. That's what I meant. Do I want to do that with you right now? Sure. So I want to talk about Kli Shlishi. I don't have the tshuva of Rav Moshe handy, but I want to just express, I want to start like just introducing that tshuva. Does the Shas, anywhere in Shas speak about Kli Shlishi? Nowhere in Shas do we speak about Kli Shlishi ever. Why not? It could be, the simple reason is because we spoke about Kli Sheni. And as Tosis does describe, there's no difference in Kli Sheni and Kli Shlishi. Who is the one who says not true? There is a difference in Kli Sheni and Kli Shlishi. That was Rav Moshe. And it's built on a fascinating sugya. Does every single heating vehicle mechanism, if you cook with certain mechanisms, is it always going to be bishul? Not always going to be bishul. And the Gemara says something amazing. One of Masechah Shabbos in the third perek. What is the halach if you cook with the sun? Yeah.
It's not derech bishul. Rashi says so.
Very good. So the Gemara says if you cook with the sun, it's mutter. I'll say that again. Mutter. So for example, you take a sun. Maybe take a magnifying glass. Concentrate the rays of the sun very, very stark. What?
You can't do that, right? You can't magnify it. You can magnify it.
You can't do what?
The rays of the sun.
You mean like on Shabbos or like physically speaking?
No, on Shabbos.
No. So they always taught me you can take the rays of the sun, magnify it, and like you can. You can burn stuff. You can, like, it somehow intensifies the heat. So, can you take a plate, crack an egg on the plate, take the sun, magnify the rays of the sun, and cook an egg on Shabbos? No. The answer is, from what I understand, David, Shlita, Mutter L'chatchila. No problem. Why no problem? Two Shitas in Rishon. Rashi Shita is, have you ever seen anyone do that?
No.
Me neither.
Like,
you've seen someone do that? What? On video. Okay, I don't know from video. I don't try it at home, you might start a bad fire. But it'll work.
Not at home, but like in Arizona.
When it was in Beit Shemesh. So, So, the halacha is, it's mutter to do that. Why? One of two possibilities. Either because Rashi writes, Ein derech bishul bakach. Because that's not the derech bishul. No one does that. It's not a normal way to cook. And sometimes something can be so abnormal, al pidin, it's not called bishul. That's pshat number one. Pshat number two is, bishul requires ish. There's a requirement of having the right kind of heat element. The sun might be a big ball of esh, but no one associates it as esh. Bishul requires esh, and if it's not esh, it's not bishul. Now, when we speak about like say a stovetop that has like a metal thing that that's it. That's called esh. That's called esh. That's still called esh, even though you don't see fire. It's an electric coil. But that's called esh. That's called esh. Mm-hmm. So that's the halach when it comes to sun. Comes along fascinating, interesting topic. Let's say Moshe Feinstein was asked the following shaila. What about microwaves? Can you use, when microwaves first came out, Moshe Feinstein was talking about them, and he wants to know, can you use microwaves on, I don't know if he's talking about Shabbos or not, but can you use microwaves? What's the, meaning on Shabbos, or else as you'll see why the other context. But let's talk about Shabbos for a second. What's the issue with using microwaves? So Rav Moshe says, wow, this is a razzle-dazzle object. He wrote the Tshuva 60 years ago. The first microwave came out. And Rav Moshe was very, very smart. He says, wow, this is really, really unusual way of cooking. But I predict that this is going to be every house in the future is going to have a microwave. He says, right now it's really unusual. But it's going to be very, very common. So is microwave called bishul? So if you learn like Rashi, it's going to be a way people cook. Right now, it might be not derech bishul, but it's going to get there. It's going to get there. Every house is going to have a microwave. So we'll call it derech bishul. But how do the microwaves work? How do they heat food? They heat food based on, I believe, high-level kinetic energy. Microwaves. But the microwaves agitate the molecular makeup of the food. It shakes those molecules, shakes them so fast that what do they generate? Heat, and the food cooks itself. That's why you can stick your hand into the microwave, like after it's, when you open the door, and it's not hot. But the food is hot, because somehow it agitates the molecular molecules of food and generates heat. Fine. So that's called derech bishul, but is there a source of esh?
No.
There's no source of esh. There's no source of esh, then according to the other approach, if you need esh for bishul, then it's like sun, and you can use a microwave on Shabbos. But if the issue is derech bishul, it is derech bishul. Now, of course, you'll tell me, yeah, but you still can't use a microwave because a microwave is an electric device, you got to push buttons and ever. There's a nafmin halacha. The nafmin halacha is going to be Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts. There are kosher Dunkin' Donuts places around town, yeah. They have these things. And not in San Diego, but in normal parts of North America. We have, wait, you're in Brooklyn, Elizabeth for sure. Teaneck, Florida they have?
Two.
Not Zeich yet to have Dunkin' Donuts. Okay. In the Lower East Side, I don't know. Washington Heights, the Heights. Okay, it's Dunkin' Donuts. Now, who works in Dunkin' Donuts? Yeah, people, other people. They're not Jews. Not Indians. Indians. Now, how do they go, you know those fake eggs?
Yeah.
Those horrible fake eggs? How do they make those fake eggs?
They
microwave them. Is there an isser of bishul akum when it comes to microwaves? So the reason I don't know, but the some of the poskim say, is there a prohibition of bishul akum when it comes to something that is cooked by the akum via microwave? So the answer is, it depends on this shaila. It's not a Hilchos Shabbos issue. It's a bishul akum issue. If you hold microwaves, so bishul requires esh. There's no esh, and therefore no problem bishul akum. If bishul does not require esh, just requires derech bishul bekach, and that defines bishul, so that's going to be a problem with microwaves. And I think, again, the poskim that are matir the Dunkin' Donuts assume that that heating things up with the microwave is not called bishul. But let's get back to tea for a second. So Moshe Feinstein came up with a very difficult to understand shiva, to be honest with you, very hard to understand what he's driving at. But he says that when you pour into a kli shlishi, and you put your tea bag in a kli shlishi, he says, what's going on over there? Well, I see that the water is turning colors. It's turning the color of tea. I do see smoke coming out. That's all true. I kind of see the same exact thing that's happening in a klisheni. That's kind of true. And it's also in a klisheni because tea is kali a bishul. But what you're witnessing in a klishlishi is not bishul. It's not bishul. Because a kli shlishi is not nevashul. What just happened then? Changed colors. That's all. It just changed colors. But it's not bishul. And Rav Moshe has a very cryptic kind of explanation. Very hard to understand what he's saying. Like, I don't really fully understand what he's saying. But I'll tell you what I think he's saying. My understanding of what he's saying. Is he saying that just like sun is not mevashel because it is not an instrument of bishul. No one cooks with the sun. At some point, you are so far removed from the fire, from the real source of the heat, it's like a radical ein derech bishul b'kach. Who cooks in a kli shlishi? Answer? Nobody cooks in a kli shlishi. That's not called bishul. Whatever happened in a kli sheni happened in a kli shlishi? Nah. The same thing happened, yeah, but halachically, al pi din, ein derech bishul b'kach. It's too far removed from the source of the heat, and therefore, it's bishul. Bishul just happened, just like it happened with the sun. But it's not halachically called bishul because you're three steps removed from the source of the heat, ein derech bishul b'kach. That's not called bishul. That's Rav Moshe's tshuva. And it applies, according to Rav Moshe, to everything. There is no bishul in kli shlishi, and that's why the Gemara never mentions kli shlishi. Never mentions bishul in kli shlishi. And the one place you saw bishul, by bishul achrafia, kli shlishi is mutter. But the world does not agree with this tshuva. When I say the world, I mean the world outside of the United States of America. That might be too dramatic, but many poskim of Eretz Yisrael, and the Mishnah Brura himself does not seem to subscribe to this. The Mishnah Brura tells you a long piece how to make tea. And tomorrow, whenever we meet next, we'll discuss the Mishnah Brura is how to make tea. But I'll tell you what he says. He gives you a whole fancy way to make tea, which is a good chazara of Hilchos Bishul. But one thing he doesn't say is put it into a klishi. It's a very easy solution. So I fortunately don't love tea, so I don't deal with it. My wife does. Every so often, sometimes she's in a machmir mood, sometimes not. Depends on what Friday looks like. But Rav Moshe's tshuva is very well accepted in the North American world, but at least in the North American, certainly the world we come from. But in the more Hamish community, and certainly in Eretz Yisrael, you go to like a Hamish hotel in Eretz Yisrael, they're always going to have tea scents. What does Archos Shabbos say?
I believe he says to use that drop.
I mean to not use a kli shlishi. Right, right. Okay, question.
Is it now
because it's no one cooks in a kli shlishi except during the week. Show me any time you're going to use a kli shlishi. That's going to be koveh what's called derech bishul. What you do during the week, not what you do on Shabbos. If you start every Shabbos, you make yourself an egg in the sun, that's not going to convert cooking with the sun into derech bishul b'kach, because you never do that during the week.
So I can do that?
Yeah, by all means. Just don't burn the place down.
Like a suah shlishi, that would make a pretty good suah shlishi.